Genesis chapter 3. Most of you are familiar with the passage. This is when Adam and Eve sinned, obviously. And here in chapter number 3, finally when they run from God, verse number 8, they hide among the trees of the garden. God begins to seek after the sinner. And thank God for that. He calls in verse number 9 and says, "Where art thou?" Verse 10, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Look in verse 11, and he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" He basically says in verse number 11, "Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked?" Now I want to preach to you just a little bit this morning along the lines like this. Sometimes you hear some news, maybe it's shocking news, maybe it's surprising news, maybe it's kind of odd or it's a little weird or different, and they tell you something about somebody or they say something that happened and it's kind of a surprise. It sets you back and you say, well, who told you that? Where did you get that? You know, the source of our information is almost as vitally important as the information itself. I mean, if you got somebody standing behind the pulpit and they don't know they're going to heaven when they die, what are you doing listening to them to try to find out how to get to heaven? Amen. If you got somebody trying to tell you how you can be right with God and they're not right with God, what's the point? So where we get our information is vitally important. I think we should ask some of these questions. We should ask, what is the source? Can I trust the source? Is the source reliable? Is it possible that the information has been corrupted or has been opinionated or led on by false pretense by the source? It's amazing how everybody's an expert on the Bible. And it's so easy to see people get swayed from this side to that side simply because somebody told them something. So I want to ask you these questions this morning about a few things, and we'll go along here. Who told you that? And we'll see what happens. We're going to talk first of all about doctrine. I'm going to ask you this question. Who told you that any Bible is as good as another Bible? Who told you that the NIV is just as good as the King James Bible? Who told you the Revised Standard Version is just as good, or the New American Standard, or the New American Standard Bible Update, or the Revised Version, or the New Revised Version, or the TNIV, or the Living Bible, or the New RSV? Who told you those were just as good as the King James Bible? The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse number 5 of the New American Standard Bible, "Thou hast made him," Jesus, "a little lower than God." And that's true. Those new Bibles have made him a little lower than God, but not the King James Bible. King James Bible says, "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, as the man Christ Jesus." He's never been, and he never will be, a little lower than God. He is God. He's the Almighty God. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the ending. The New American Standard Bible says that he is another God in John 1:18. And just because your favorite preacher don't know that does not mean anything. Who told you that? I've read these verses. John 1:18 in the New American Standard Bible reads just like the New World Translation of the Jehovah's Witness. "No man have seen God at any time. The only begotten God hath declared him." Jesus is not a begotten God. He's a begotten Son. Jehovah's Witness teach that he's a begotten God. And so does the New American Standard Bible. Who told you any Bible is good enough? Luke 2:33 and the New Versions all say that Joseph is Jesus' father. Joseph is not his father. The narrative in Luke 2:33 in the New Versions say that he's his father. The Bible declares that God begot Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's not the son of Joseph. Amen. 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says in our Bible, God was manifest in the flesh, not he. Who is he? 1 John 5, 7, and 8, the greatest verses in the entire Bible on the Trinity have been removed in the New Versions. Colossians 1, 14, they sang about the blood. The Bible says in the right Bible, "In whom we have redemption through His blood." That's been taken out of the New Bibles. Who told you any Bible is just as good as the King James Bible? Somebody at the Christian bookstore? You really going to believe them? Who told you? Some professor? Who told you the King James Bible is harder to understand? So I just don't understand. Aright, asunder, deride, naught, haunt, trafficked, dung, yoke fellow, lusty, temperate. I don't understand a base, begat, beer, B-I-E-R, canst, didst, lawed, L-A-U-D, milk, M-I-C-H, M-I-L-C-H. I don't understand beggarly, beseech, circumspect, mammon, henceforth, vehement, wanton. Well, you need to throw the NIV and the New American Standard Bible, the New King James Bible away, because all those came out of those three versions. I'll give you the references. You can go get your NIV, New King James, New American, and look them up. I'll give you some NIV. Abutted, alclove, brooches, carnelian, charioteers. Yeah, you know what a charioteer is, don't you? Colonnade, cores, C-R-R-S, filigree, fomenting, gadfly, glint, hoopoe, I don't even know what that is, hoopoe, H-O-O-P-O-E, ignoble, jowls, offal, porphyry, prefix, verdant. NIV is so hard to read. I mean, the King James Bible is so hard to read. New American Standard Bible, allies, benumbed, citron, drachma, imbibe, imprecation, insanely, cores, K-O-R-S, lapsus, lazuli, meted, pinions, pyry, swarthy, tendrils, turbid, virility. New King James, oh, they fixed it up, got rid of the these and thous. New King James Version, armlets, curds, mina, pim, retinue, rivulets, skiff, tender, verdue, wafts, or wafts, W-A-I-F-S, wind, W-E-N-D. Who told you the King James Bible is harder than these other versions? See, our problem is we just, you know, the guy, he's a real smooth talker and he's, you know, got a huge church and, oh, he's written all these books. Who told you that? You know, if you take the King James Bible away, you lose these expressions. Hell. You know, we're supposed to bring it into the modern vernacular. You ever heard anybody out there on the construction site hit their finger and say, Hades, Sheol, Gehenna? No, if we're going to bring it down to the modern vernacular, we're going to say hell. You ain't going to Hades, you're going to hell. You lose that. The NIV doesn't have the word in it in the Old Testament. It's gone. The wicked should not be turned into hell in the NIV. Hell's not in the Bibles. Genesis 43, verse 34, mess. Everybody knows what a mess hall is, amen? Liberty, Acts 27, verse 3. You get liberty when you come to shore. Darling, Psalm 22, 20. Let, as in prevent. You see that in tennis. They hit the ball and it goes boom and falls right over. That's a let. You lose that. Light bread, we know what that is in the South. A concourse, we know that at airports. A store, you ever been to the store? It's not the reserve. You don't go down to the... Let me go to Walmart Reserve. No, you go to the store. Change it to reserve. Stories. Traffic. Broken down. The NIV says broken up. Whoever says that? My car broke up. No, your car broke down. Who told you the NIV was easier to read? Advertise. I just saw an inform. I just saw an inform on TV. No, you saw an advertisement. Good Lord. These people don't go around and say, Lord, who is good? Lord, who is good? No, you say, good Lord! Yeah. Came to himself, not came to his senses. You know, so what has happened is because the love of money is the root of all evil, they have to keep moving down the road of changing words to get another copyright. Because every 0.5 month, every 6 months, we get a new version. Since about 1880. Because the English language has changed in the past 6 months. I'm sure you're aware of that. And so it has to be updated because it's all for the updating and we're spreading the gospel. Yeah, they're spreading the gospel all right. Who told you that? Who told you hell's just separate? We're just getting started, guys. Who told you hell is just separation from God? That's the big thing nowadays. Separation from God. The Bible says every unsaved man is under the wrath of God right now. If you're here and you're not saved, you are separated from God right now. Now, God's everywhere. We understand the omnipresence of God. We understand theology. God is everywhere, but as a believer in Christ, I'm in Christ. If you're not saved, you're not in Christ. You're separate from Him. Hell is more than just separation from God. Jesus used a very vivid word, fire. Hell, fire. All this stuff about being saved, let Jesus come into your life. And hey, I don't need Him in my life. I need Him in my body. I need Him to save my soul from hell. That's why I got saved. Who told you hell's just separation from God? They asked these preachers, they said, what about hell? They said, well, you know, all we know for sure is that it's... What do you mean all we know for sure? The Bible tells us exactly what it is. It describes it in clear, crystal clear terms. Jesus preached more on hell than He did on heaven. The one verse He quotes more than any other verse comes from the Old Testament, where the fire, where the worm is not, the fire is not quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Isaiah 66. Who told you that? Who told you the devil's in hell? Some of you think the devil's in hell with a pitchfork. He doesn't live in hell. Amen. The Bible says He's the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says He has apostles and He has ministers, and they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. He is alive and active in this world today. The Bible calls Him the principalities and powers of the air. Who told you that? Who told you God wouldn't send somebody to hell? Who told you God loves the sinner and hates the sin? That's a good one. Some of you think it's in the Bible. Just like it's in there somewhere, you know, when you can't tell one season from the next, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, it's right in there, right next to cleanliness is next to godliness. We might not know a few things, but we know what's in here. And God loves a sinner and hates a sin is not in there. Quit blinking at me like an owl. I'll give you a few verses. Amen. What is in the sinner but sin? Right. Psalm 5, verse number 4. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm glad I'm not under the hatred and the anger and the wrath of God. God is just, God is holy, God is righteous, God is also love, and thank God for that. I'm glad I'm under the love of God because of Calvary. But without Jesus Christ, a sinner is under the judgment of Almighty God. God's love is for everybody, but everybody don't cash in on it. The Bible says God so loved the world, past tense. If a sinner wants to get God's love, he's got to go back to Calvary, because that's where God's love is manifested. God's not going to put somebody He loves in hell. That's what the Jehovah's Witness will try to tell you, because they don't believe in hell. They'll say, okay, you know, you think God's really going to put somebody that He loves? No, He's not. I'm saved. I'm under the love of God. I'm not going to hell. Somebody that's not under the love of God, they are the enemy of God. They're under the judgment of God. The Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them. Who told you God wouldn't send nobody to hell? The Bible says, Jesus actually said this, Luke chapter number 12. He says, be not afraid of them that kill the body and after that have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The Bible says he'll put on the left hand, he'll say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Who told you that? Who told you that God predestinated some to be saved and some not to be saved? Well, preacher, I just believe before the foundation of the world, you know, God chose some and didn't choose others. You ever looked up where the word predestination occurs in your Bible? No, you haven't. You just listened to what some idiot told you and you believed them. It shows up four times in your Bible. And every time it shows up, it has to do with the future of those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Well, it's over in Romans a couple times, and it's over in Ephesians chapter number 1. And it has to do with those who are saved. I've been predestinated. Amen. So what about those who were chosen? He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Yeah, who's the us? How did you become an us? You became an us because you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Look, listen to this. All things are possible with God, right? We know the context of that. But God will not do the impossible. Is God going to make dry water? A square circle? God is a sovereign God. He's in control of everything. But God has created man with the ability of free will. And for God to force somebody either to be saved or not to be saved will be a contradiction of the very nature and the very will of God. God will not go contrary to His nature. You can't force a free creature to do something he doesn't want to do. That would not be a God of love. God's love is this: I did this for you, will you take me? I died for your sins, will you take the forgiveness that I offer you? Who told you some were predestined to be saved and some not? Who told you you had to be baptized to go to heaven? Yeah. We're Baptists. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and when I die, I'm going to be Baptist dead. But baptism don't get you into heaven. Right. Baptism gets you wet. Who told you you had to be baptized to be saved? Well, it says over there, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the mission of sins. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Baptized, Holy Ghost. Baptized, That's how they talk. Okay, who's talking in Acts chapter 2? We had this lesson a few weeks ago, so we don't have to revisit that. You better be real careful. Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They get baptized after they're saved. In the Bible, who told you little babies get sprinkled and it's so cute, you know, they get the little christening outfit and then they pour a little water. Where's that come from? It doesn't come from the Bible. Who told you that? Amen. Baptism comes after salvation. Who told you you could lose your salvation? The Bible says we're kept by the power of God, 1 Peter 1, verse 5. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. You ever get those figs out, or those preserves out? Them things are sealed. You open that thing and you dip those things out in the drill. One day the Lord is going to go, and we're going to go, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the last trump, we're going to leave this body and we're coming unsealed. And then we're going to take on our glorified body. In a moment of the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption, the mortal must put on immortality. But I'm sealed until that day. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. I've been saved. My body didn't get saved. My spirit was born again. My soul has been saved. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I know I still sin, but something on the inside don't. This right here still does. So I've got a conflict. Who told you you could lose your salvation? So, well, preacher, you know, if you kill yourself, that's it. The unpardonable sin, suicide. Where's that at again? Oh, you had never read it in the Bible. You just heard it all your life, so you believe it. There's no verse that tells us that suicide is the unpardonable. Well, preacher, you know, if somebody kills themselves, they didn't have time to ask for forgiveness. You don't get to heaven because you ask for God to forgive all of your sins on a daily basis. That's not what gets you there anyway. And if you think that's what gets you to heaven, you've got a problem. Yeah. It's the because, number one, you can't remember all your sins. I'm sorry, you're not that good. Some of you don't think you have but two or three anyway. I need to inform you this morning, you got about 500,000. If we had to remember all our sins and confess them, we wouldn't have time to do anything else. We'd just be confessing our sins on a minute-by-minute basis. Lord, I messed up here. There. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You're not saved by asking forgiveness all the time. You don't control God. You don't have a market on God. We're saved by the forgiveness of God that He gives through Jesus Christ. And that blood has forgiven us of sins past, present, and future. Yeah, we need to confess our sins to stay in fellowship with God. But confessing your sins will get... Well, as a preacher, what happens if you blow... Well, what are you going to do? Okay, what if you forget to confess all your sins before you draw your last breath? Or you get in a car wreck? You dead? You're gone? Well, preacher, I just believe you commit suicide. It's an unpardonable sin. What about Samson? Amen. You know, he was in the Bible, a guy in the Old Testament, and he was strong. But Samson. You know what he did? He got in between those two pillars there, and he was a Nazarite. He had that vow on him, and God blessed him. And then he had his eyes put out, and he lost all his strength. And he said, "Lord, remember one time for my enemy's sake." And he gets in between those two pillars, and he says, "Let me die with the heathen." And he kills himself. Lo and behold, in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, the heroes of the faith, when you read all those great men, David and all those guys in there, there's Samson. How did he make it over there if he killed himself? Who told you killing yourself was the unpardonable sin? Well, preacher, right here, you know, you can lose your salvation because I mean, it's right here. It says, I got it. It's impossible. For those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to remove them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6. It's impossible. Okay, well, there goes your doctrine anyway. Because most people that teach you can lose your salvation teach you can get it back. That verse says if you lost it, you lost it. Whoops. So when Jimmy Swaggart stood up in front of everybody, you know, with the big tears and, you know, "Oh, I've sinned," he couldn't get it back. He said eternal security was a damnable heresy. You know, us Baptists were teaching damnable heresy, you know. But he'd take all the Baptist money, you know, if we thought the 600-foot Jesus was going to kill him. Then, anyway, if you could lose it, according to Hebrews chapter 6, you could never get it back. It's impossible for those who are once enlightened and they fall away to renew them again into repentance. Well, what are we going to do with Hebrews chapter 6? You got to be real careful. Make sure you rightly divide the word of truth. There are some people in the Bible that could, quote unquote, lose their salvation. For instance, in the Old Testament, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Even Samson, we read about the Spirit of the Lord departed from Samson. But you got to make sure you rightly divide the word of truth, and just because it's somewhere in the Bible, you can't take it and make application for yourself. If you would, you'd have all kind of problems. Judas went out and hanged himself. Go thou and do likewise. Two verses, just put them together. Just take one word out. Thou shalt commit adultery. Right? There was a Bible they had misprinted back in the 1600s, and it was called the Wicked Bible because it did that. It left the not out. They called it the Wicked Bible because of the printer's errors. You've got to make sure you properly, rightly divide the word of truth. Obviously, Hebrews 6 has to do with someone that had tasted the powers of the world to come, had the Holy Ghost, and they fell away, and they could not repent, they could not get their salvation back. Obviously, that's somebody. You got to be real careful. What are you going to do with Adam and Eve in the garden? Well, preacher, we know that back in the Old Testament times, people were saved by looking forward to the cross. And now in New Testament times, after the cross, we're saved by looking back to the cross. So they were saved by looking forward to the cross and redemption, and we're saved by looking... Who told you that?
Amen.
If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. I cringe every time I hear it. I want to slap them in the next week when I hear that. Oh, it bothers me. I can see it coming. I'll be reading books and stuff, and boy, they're working through, you know, and they're manipulating those words, and they're dancing around the verses, you know, and they're dancing around the tulips, and finally they have to say it, you know. Well, people back in the old, they were looking forward to Calvary. You think people were saved the same way in the whole Bible? God never did things the same throughout the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, those Jews had to bring an animal sacrifice. We didn't bring animals here this morning. We didn't bring animals and we didn't bring blood and put it all over the altar and go out. Matter of fact, if we're Old Testament Jews, we're here on the wrong day. We should have been here yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday is the Sabbath. Today's the first day of the week. Yeah. Some of you are going to have pork this afternoon. You better not eat any pork. And God forbid you ever have a catfish. You could only eat it in the Old Testament if it had scales. You guys in here, man, who's got the beard in here? You're supposed to have beards. Pork abstaining, Sabbath observing, bearded Jewish men. And they had to appear 3 times in Jerusalem and bring their sacrifices for the feast. You're not an Old Testament Jew. So, well, you know, we just look forward to, okay, Noah really looked forward to the cross. Noah, you want to be saved? Yeah, build a boat. He really was looking for, well, you know, the boat, the ark was a type of Christ. Yeah, now we can see that. Glory to God. Did Noah know that? No, he know, hey, God's going to send down some water. I better get a boat so I can get in it. Who told you they were saved the same in the Old and New Testament? Some Bible teacher or scholar really don't know the Bible. You say, oh, you know, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you. Under the Old Testament law, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says in the last verse, this shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all things that are written therein. An Old Testament saint, they had to have faith, obviously, in God, but they also had to produce righteousness by following those Old Testament laws and regulations. And if they messed up according to those laws and regulations, there were certain things that were prescribed by the law as far as sacrifices that they would bring to make atonement for their souls. Well, you know, in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross. Okay, if that's the case, how come in the Old Testament, when somebody died, they didn't go to heaven? You know that, don't you? Luke chapter 16, when you read about it, it's not a story. It's not a parable. It's an actual story. Jesus tells the story of the prodigal, of the rich man in hell. And the rich man in Lazarus. And when he dies, there's a man who dies and goes to hell. There's a righteous man who dies, and he's down in the center of the earth, but he's not in hell. And it's not an allegory because Jesus gives actual names. He doesn't say it's a parable. It's not an allegory. It's a literal, true story. The Bible tells us about the Old Testament saints. They went into the center of the earth. You say, why? Because their sins were covered, but they weren't cleared. The blood of bulls and goats, it says in Hebrews chapter 9, it's impossible. In Hebrews 10, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. There was a covering made, an atonement made. God forgave on the basis of the coming cross, obviously. But their sins were not cleared until Jesus died on the cross. You've got to make sure you understand. Right now, you say, what does a person do? Does a person have to obey the commandments? Well, they did in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus Christ in Matthew 19, a young rich ruler comes up and says, what must I do to have eternal life? You know what Jesus tells him? He tells him something I'd never tell him. He says, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. Is that what you're going to tell somebody to get to heaven? Here, just keep the commandments. Come on, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. Put a little power to it. Jesus says, you want to enter into life? Keep the commandments. Matthew 19. Jesus is under the Old Testament law. We're under the New Testament dispensation of grace. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works have no part in your salvation whatsoever. What are you going to do about the kingdom age when Jesus is on the earth, ruling and reigning? Well, everybody's saved the same in both Testaments. Everybody's saved the same, you know. What are you going to do about the kingdom? Jesus is on the earth, ruling and reigning as king from Jerusalem, from the throne of David. There he is. It really takes a lot of faith, don't it? We're saved by faith. Have you ever seen Jesus? No, we live by faith. We believe the Word of God. We trust Him by faith. In the millennium, there He is. Where's the faith? There He's there. He's on the throne. There He is. You've got to rightly divide the word of truth. I got so many more. I'm going to have to cut through this. I was going to ask you this. Who told you God was all through with Israel? Romans 11, 25 to 27. Who told you that? God promised some things related to the nation of Israel, and He's going to fulfill those promises after the fullness of the Gentiles. The Bible says in Romans 11, not to be ignorant of this mystery that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. God is going to take up His plan and program as far as Bible prophecy is concerned with the nation of Israel. And who told you the rapture was some new thing? Who told you that? You've been reading some of this Reformed theology down here. Who told you the rapture is just some myth invented? The rapture's in the Bible. That predates what anybody else said about it. 306 to 374, there's a Latin manuscript named Ephraim Cyrus, and it says this, "For all the saints and the elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come. They are taken to the Lord lest they see the confusion that is to overwhelm the world because of our sins." 306 to 374. There's another sermon in 1788 by Morgan Edwards called Millennium, Last Days Novelties, that he discusses the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Well, this stuff's a late invention. No, it's not a late invention. It's a Bible doctrine. Amen. Let me talk about the church, and I'm going to talk about some personal things, and we'll wrap it up, personal issues. I got about 6 minutes. Who told you you're supposed to feel good about yourself when you come to church? Who told you that your flesh is supposed to like it? When somebody stands up and preaches the Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. There's only one positive and two negatives. You need to be told from time to time that you're wicked as hell, that you need to get right with God, that you need to get in that Bible, you need to get on your knees, you need to tell people about Christ, you need to be told those things. People don't want to be preached to. They want to be talked to. They want a sermonette by a preacherette. Long as I'm here, you're not going to get a sermonette. You're going to get a message from God by a man, not some queer. We ain't taking away the wood pulpit. And we ain't taking away the pews. And God forbid I ain't putting on a polo shirt. Amen. We have a choir. We don't have a praise team. If we ever have to have a screen in here, it's because we have some other kind of presentation not to read the words because nobody can hold a hymn book anymore. How hard is it to hold a hymn book?
That's right.
I know why they have the screens, because nobody has the same Bible. They can't do like we do in Sunday school. We go verse by verse and we're all together, you know. They can't do that. They got 50 different versions out there. It'd be chaos. Have you ever done that? We've done that before. Passed out a whole and tried to read together. You can't even follow each other. Who told you you're supposed to feel good? Who told you, and I like this one, who told you the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees? That's in there right next to, you know, cleanliness and next to godliness, and you'll see the signs of the time, the weather's changing, you know. That's right next to that one. The devil kneels down right beside you. Greater is He in you than He is in the world. Yeah, but He knows a whole lot about your business.
Amen.
Supposed to feel good. And devil ain't. Who?
Come on, come on.
That's good. That's good.
Who told you you have to have all these programs for the kids?
Amen. That's
right. We have some stuff for the kids. But who told you you had to have that? What's wrong with them getting what you get? What's wrong with them getting preached at and learning about sitting in church and being preached at and opening up a Bible and have some old-time singing, some old-time preaching? What's wrong with that? Hey, back in the old days, I know churches back in the old days that I've read about, and I even got to meet one old-time preacher in South Carolina, Harold Seiler. Man, they had thousands coming to their church. They didn't have programs for the kids. They had revival. They packed the house. And it wasn't just old people. Who told you it's just old widows that come to church? It's supposed to be everybody's supposed to love God. Who told you women could be preachers? This is just one of those fun messages. This is fun. Who told you a woman's got the right to stand up behind a pulpit and preach? The Bible didn't tell you that. Bible says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, as saith also the law. Right down the road, riding down the road, and saw the little digital sign down there, a nice little sign, wish I had one. Had a little advertisement for the Beth Moore Bible study. Oh, Beth Moore, she's so great. We don't believe in women preachers, though. Southern Baptist Convention, oh, they came out real strong against that. Charles Stanley was saved under a woman preacher. Oh, we don't believe in women preachers, though. What do you think they're doing? Oh, it's just a women's conference. Okay, you're going to get thousands of women in a church, and they're going to all sit down, and a woman's going to stand up and talk to them. What do you call it? Oh, it's a woman giving a speech. No, it's a woman preaching. Well, the Bible says women to teach. Yeah, it says teach the younger women. And it's dealing with social things, not in a congregational setting. Who told you that? It's amazing, these churches that are so hung up on the tongues and all this kind of stuff. In the same passage over there in Corinthians, when it talks about the tongues they like to use, it tells them, let not that the woman keep silence in the churches. Yeah. Then they say, oh, that's just back for that time. Okay, that's for that time, but the tongues are not for that time? Yeah. They like to pick and choose what they want out of there. We have an effeminate Christianity today. Who told you there were female angels in the Bible that had wings? Who told you that? Angels in the Bible don't have wings, and there are no female angels in the Bible. That's a hard one to swallow, isn't it? Especially for all of you to have your little angel trinkets. And I know that stuff's all cute. You got those little cherub, little fat baby, naked babies, little cherubs, and they're so cute. Look, long as you understand this, you hang that little thing from your visor, you know, it has no power to save you from an accident. It's not going to give you better gas mileage to hang a little statue of Mary on your thing. You take Mary and throw her in the gas tank, maybe she'll help you there. I don't know. Who told you this stuff? God's male, God the Father's male, God the Holy Spirit's male, God the Son's male. When you got saved, you're a son of God male. Every angel in the Bible is a young man. Read it. He appears as a young man. Only female spirits that you'll see is in Zechariah, and they're unclean spirits, and they have wings, and they're female. Nothing against ladies. I married one. Nobody's better than anybody else. God's just made us different for His glory. I got to hit this one. Who told you saw a Christian that got divorced couldn't get remarried again? Ooh. Yeah. Preacher, you preaching an independent Baptist. Yeah, you're right. Who told you that? Well, you know, the Bible says, oh, especially deacons and preachers. The Bible says over there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the husband, a bishop then must be the husband of one wife. Sober, vigilant, so on and so forth. Okay, so a man's divorced. He's remarried. That means he's got two wives. According to them. Yeah, he's got two living wives. Well, how come in the Old Testament, when God uses the typology of him being married to the nation of Israel in the book of Hosea, and when he says that he's going to put her, he's going to write her a bill of divorcement because of her sin, she's committed spiritual adultery, and he says, I'm going to write you a bill of divorcement, and he says, I don't have a wife anymore. When you're divorced, you're single. Who but some college Bible-educated idiot would think that if you're divorced, you're still married? Who told you that? 1 Timothy chapter 3 is dealing with polygamy. They still had polygamy back in the day. It's called concubinage back in the Roman Empire. And he's saying, look, these bishops, you need to be a husband of one wife. You don't need to have these concubines. That was what they were dealing with back in that time. And for somebody to deny that is to deny rational thought. But there's a whole lot more behind this thing. Bondage. You say, well, you know, it's a sin. I understand that. And it's wrong. The Bible says God hates it back in the Old Testament. God created you to be married to one person for life. One man, one woman for life. I'm all for it. I'm all against divorce. But I know sin still happens. And I know sometimes it's not your fault. What are you going to do? Okay, you never can serve God now. I might as well go stick your head in a hole somewhere. Well, you know, I heard a pastor one time. He was telling a guy, and he was asking about something. He was really on fire for the Lord, wanting to say. He goes, well, you know, you can never hold office in the church, and you might be a Sunday school teacher or a janitor. Okay. How many of you have a C.I. Scofield reference Bible? He was divorced and remarried. This Bible shaped premillennial dispensational thought in this country. Romans 7, Matthew 19, 1 Corinthians 7 give the stipulations for divorce and remarriage. Romans 7 talks about death. Obviously, that's a freedom. A person can remarry after death. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, it talks about fornication, and it also talks about desertion. When a person leaves, then they're single. And then in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus deals with adultery and fornication. If someone cheats on their spouse, they're free to be remarried. Those are the stipulations. That's the Bible. Who told you that? I've got to wrap this thing up, but I've got to hit a few more of these and I'll be done. Who told you this contemporary Christian music is good?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Who told you that? Who told you, let me go ahead and say this, and I don't have time to do a whole thing on this, but who told you music was amoral? You know, music is just music. It's the words. You know, you can take punk rock and put Jesus in there, then it turns good. Who told you that? Your flesh? Because you like to listen to it? All literature's not immoral. You can take words and make them good or bad. Art, you say, well, what about art? Okay, art's not immoral. You can take it and make it good and make it bad. Music's the same way. I just lost half of you. Instead of standing up and singing like we heard this morning, everybody wants to hold on to this. How come you don't laugh at them when they're in these churches or they're on TV or they're on the Christian Music Awards or they're on the Gaithers or whatever? And Who told you that? Who told you if you would tithe, you would get rich? I know that ain't the truth, because I've tried it. Who told you if you live right, you'll prosper? Live right and prosper, young man. All the early disciples, they suffered persecution and martyrdom. They did right. They served God to the best of their ability, and things did not go well for them. You might be having some trials and persecution. That does not necessarily mean you're out of the will of God and you need to send some money into that guy on TV.
Yeah.
Who told you God would heal you because you have strong faith? We're kind of moving into the kitchen. We're to pray according to God's will. 1 John 5, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That's the stipulation. We need to pray about those things. If you want to pray about some particular thing, you don't know if you pray, but invariably it has to do with His will. It's not our will, it's His will. And finally, a few things, and I'll be done personally. Who told you God will not forgive you? First of all, as far as salvation is concerned, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Fellowship, 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says for a Christian, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Who told you God wouldn't forgive you? Who told you your sin was too big for God to forgive? Your flesh is telling you that? The devil's telling you that? The world may be telling you that? God doesn't want you? Who told you God don't want you? He wants you. He gave His only begotten Son for you. Who told you you're spiritual just because you sit in church? You can backslide right on the pew. Who told you you could neglect prayer and you could neglect Bible reading and be okay? The Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says search the Scriptures. Who told you you could allow a little sin in your life? Oh, preacher, a little bit won't hurt. The Bible says in Galatians 5, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Who you been listening to? The Lord said to Adam there, He says, who told thee? Who told you that? I guess I'm going to give you the answer to all those who told you that. God didn't tell nobody that. When Adam and Eve got in trouble there in Genesis chapter 3, a few things happened. But in summary, and I'm really finished, promise. They stopped listening to God, but when they stopped listening to God, they started listening to somebody else. They listened to Satan's voice. So what we need to make sure we're doing is listening to God. Who's telling us what? Our convictions, our principles in life, our beliefs. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from God or is it coming from man? Who told you that? Let's stand and be dismissed.